This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 16.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google, mobile websites, confused? Well, don't be. Here at Top Agents Playbook, we love to tackle the tricky and confusing and help them make sense to our real estate agent followers. So if you're wanting to jump in the deep end of the social media pool but can't swim, don't panic. We've got the bright yellow floaties that will help keep your head above water and have you synchronized swimming in no time. Jeff Evans has been helping me with my marketing for the last 6 months. He's an acknowledged leader and speaker in the social media space, and I really like working with Jeff because he breaks things down into easy to understand chunks. Here's a summary of what we'll be covering in this interview. Is your website in Google jail? Recent changes at Google mean they won't be ranking non-mobile friendly websites, and we give you a link in the show notes to test your site to see if Google rank it or tank it. We take a look at creating the ultimate mobile real estate website and look at the must-haves to engage your visitors for longer. Jeff demystifies the whole hashtag thing and shows us how to package a compelling story about ourselves to stand out from our competition. We also cover Twitter, LinkedIn, effective Facebook marketing, and how to optimize your social media and web presence for maximum search. You can learn more about Jeff and his excellent coaching options at socialmediacoach.ca, and I'll put that link in the show notes as well. We didn't cover dark posts on Facebook, but they are a very effective and new way to connect with your market, and not many agents are using them. And I've posted a couple of excellent explainer videos, including one from Gary Vaynerchuk, in the show notes. You can check them out, plus everything Jeff and I reference in this podcast at topagentsplaybook.com/16. Okay, let's get into the interview with Jeff. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back. Today, I'm with Jeff Evans from socialmediacoach.ca. G'day, Jeff.
How you doing, Ray?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Jeff, I'm pretty keen to learn more about what's happening with Google and the potential unranking of some mobile sites. Now, I know you recently wrote an article in LinkedIn about this, so I was pretty keen to find out more, and welcome to the show. Can you tell me what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, today's the perfect day to have this conversation because it is the deadline. So April 21st, Google is reevaluating how websites are being ranked and shared for search engine searches.
Right.
In particular, they've determined over the course of the last few years that people are spending, 30% of their searches are being done via mobile. And anyone who's ever tried to visit a website that is not mobile friendly understands how frustrating it can be when the pinching and the zooming and the eventually you just quit. Well, Google's goal is to give you the best possible search results. So if you're on a mobile device, Google doesn't want to be giving you a website that only functions well on a desktop. So now they're starting to distinguish between the website pages they will share with you when you're searching via desktop. So nothing will change from that perspective. But anytime you're searching on a mobile device, Google's going to try to show you the best optimized search results. So for anyone listening, if their website is not mobile, that impacts severely your ability to get discovered.
Okay. Now, I can just hear our listeners asking, that's great, Jeff and Ray, but how do we know if my site is Google mobile compliant or not? And the quick answer is that Google have provided us with a link, and I'm going to paste that into the show notes to check those out. All you need to do is go to topagentsplaybook.com and look for my interview with Jeff, and we'll put that link in there. And Jeff, just explain what happens when they insert their URL into the link.
Well, that link is basically taking them to Google's Webmaster Tools, which, again, anyone who has a website should make sure that they're connected to Google's Webmaster Tools. It's the best way to know how your website is performing. So when you put your website URL or any individual page URL into this particular tool, it will analyze it and figure out is the font legible at a certain size? Are buttons clickable? How mobile friendly actually is it? And it will give you an evaluation of good or bad. Okay. If it comes back green, you're good to go. If it's red, you have some work to do.
So if it's red, it means that if somebody is searching for you or your industry or a generic term around you, now our clients are real estate agents. So if somebody was searching real estate in, you're from London, Ontario. So real estate London, Ontario. Your site was not mobile friendly. What you're saying is that your site would not come up on a mobile search on google.com or .ca.
That's right. Okay. That's exactly right. Yep. Okay. So this doesn't impact your desktop, but still, this is probably 30% of searches are happening on mobile devices for most businesses these days.
Well, I'd say in our industry it's higher because so many people are out and about looking at property, looking at real estate, looking from their cars, going to open houses on the weekend, checking things out. And when you say mobile, are you talking about tablets as well?
It's kind of murky when it comes to that. Often people can view a website on a tablet just fine if it's only desktop friendly. So really we're talking about smartphone searches, which is still the majority of mobile searches.
Okay. All right. Well, like Jeff and I have just been saying, if you're concerned about your site and you want to check out some sites, in fact, I called that up, Jeff, that link that you sent me or that you posted in your LinkedIn article. And I put some sites in there that I thought for sure would be mobile friendly, and they're not. It came back red. So there's a lot of people out there with a lot of work to do, and not having a mobile friendly website is going to cost you money, long story short.
Absolutely. So,
any other advice we can give on that?
Well, I put together a little list of some mobile friendly tips just to help realtors figure out what steps they need to take.
Awesome. Okay. Can you share?
Yeah. So I can think the first major consideration is make sure you have the user's objectives in mind. So you have to ask yourself, why is someone choosing to visit my website on a mobile device versus a desktop? And I think you already identified the reasons why. People are out looking at properties.
Sure.
So with that in mind, what are the key things that they are trying to accomplish? It might be different on a mobile phone, things they're trying to accomplish, than when they get on a desktop. So really have in mind, what are they probably doing at that moment in time, and give them those functions as quickly and conveniently as possible. Don't have the same identical experience from desktop to mobile.
Okay, well, I can probably answer that quickly for agents. You need to have a search. If you're marketing property and somebody's checking you out, you need to be able to have a search facility, I guess, because that's where you're going to be getting a lot of your traffic, and maybe some kind of capture mechanism there where people can leave their info and a little bit more about you, the agent. That would be just my shotgun from the hip approach to that.
Absolutely. And that kind of works. I don't know how. I know it's pretty popular is the QR code.
Yes.
Particularly as people are traveling around looking at properties. If you have a mobile website that links well to QR, if you only have a desktop version of your website, nobody wants to use a QR code because it's a frustrating experience to get to.
Sure, yeah. It's pretty hard to lug your desktop out and in front of a property sign or whatever. And yeah,
that is true.
Okay, next one.
The next one was keep your menus short. You know, you go to a lot of websites and they have all sorts of drop-down menus and all sorts of choices to make. That's fine on a desktop. Not ideal, but it's fine. On mobile, you really need to focus in on a handful of key navigation choices. You're not recreating all the content on your desktop version in the mobile experience. So again, it's rethinking, why is someone using this from a mobile device?
Gotcha.
The other thing Google shares is they really want it to be easy for a user to get back to the homepage. The homepage is kind of the hub. It's where people figure out where to go. If they get too deep into your website and they can't easily navigate back to the home, they get frustrated and they leave.
That is frustrating, isn't it? You go, you one or two clicks on a mobile site or even on a non-mobile site, and you're thinking, hey, I want to go back and check that thing out that was on the homepage, and you just can't find it. If you're lucky, sometimes you can backspace or whatever and get there.
Yeah.
But that is a frustrating experience, I agree. Good advice.
Yep. And the last one that Google shares here in their tips is, don't let promotions steal the show. So what that means is, I don't know how many websites you've gone to where you follow a link to read a blog and suddenly something pops up in your face asking you to sign up. It's a great marketing tool. It must work because every website I go to seems to do it nowadays. But in mobile, it's extremely frustrating because half the time you can't even figure out where the X is to close the window.
Yes.
the pop-up. So you just leave the website. It's just frustrating.
Yep.
So don't aggravate people with marketing initiatives in mobile if you can avoid it.
So no pop-ups on mobile, gang.
Try to avoid it. Be a lot more subtle.
Yep.
But using mailing lists and other strategies are great. Just not throwing stuff in their face.
Okay. All right. I think that's really good advice. Thanks for those tips. Now, I wanted to pick your brain as well because you are the social media coach. And if anybody wants to check Jeff's site out, by the way, it's socialmediacoach.ca. Say hello to Jeff. Get on his mailing list. He's got lots of great material. Jeff and I have been working together for a while, and it's been awesome for me. Social media is a little bit murky at the moment. Well, it seems to be murky all the time. But I think when I say social media, a lot of people just think Facebook. What's going on at the moment? I know you've got quite a few real estate clients that you give advice to. Where's the low-hanging fruit? What, if anything, should we be doing with social media, and how should we be doing it? Got enough questions there?
That is a monstrous large question. Well, you know, it's
the same one I ask you every week.
It's true. Well, and the difficult part is we can say that we're talking to realtors, but each realtor has a unique practice. They're trying to work with different clientele, selling different properties, et cetera, et cetera. So for each realtor, you need to look at not a cookie cutter approach. Now, don't just look around your community and see, oh, everyone's on Facebook, so I should be there. For me, it's all about stepping back and really trying to figure out who are you trying to connect with and with what purpose in mind. Are you truly just trying to get more listings? Are you trying to sell properties? Are you trying to get referrals? What is your business objective? And with that in mind, you start to figure out what platform do I belong on. So there are a lot of choices. Facebook is the most popular. Obviously, the largest population of users is there. But the challenge is the Facebook algorithm. Now, I don't know what your experiences have been with the algorithm or what you've heard from your clients, right? But
tricky.
Have you heard?
And that's being nice to it.
Exactly. Well, and if you talk to or you do any research, you'll see that Facebook uses about 100,000 different signals to figure out which post to share. So anytime you log into Facebook, there could be upwards of 1,500 different stories Facebook could choose to share with you. But it knows if it shares everything, you're going to get overwhelmed and quit. So Facebook will go through and pick out the best 20, best 25 posts. And so if you're a realtor trying to get your properties in front of people, trying to get services in front of people, you're competing with 1,500 other stories.
Jeff, Facebook, is that really the right format? I see a lot of real estate ads there and listings and things like that. I don't see them getting a lot of likes. I see community-minded things. And I spoke recently with James Sexton from Mount Barker in South Australia, and everybody should check out James' page, which is We Love the Adelaide Hills. So just do a search in Facebook, We Love the Adelaide Hills. Now, James' page, and you might be interested to know this, Jeff, it went from zero to over 3,000 followers, and it's a community page in less than 9 months, and it's only a city, I think, of 10,000 people. So it's just gone crazy. And the thing he's done that's really clever is that he's said to photographers, professional photographers in town, he said, hey, send me a photo, send me your best photo, send me one or two a week, and I'll put it up on our page. And it seems to be getting a huge following.
That's great. And so that kind of points to really what you need to think about when you're on Facebook is that it's not about you.
Sure.
It's really about the person on the other end of that post that you're sharing. And so if you're going to have visibility and reach and grow your likes in any sort of meaningful way, you have to figure out who is the group of people you're trying to connect with, because they're not an audience just sitting back waiting for your commercial. They're a group of people who have lives and are logging into Facebook or Twitter or wherever, and they're scrolling through and they're looking for things that connect and resonate with them.
Sure.
So if every post you share is just, here's my latest property, they're going to get tired of hearing from you.
Yep.
If your post is focused around who they are and things that they care about, in addition to the products you offer, the services you offer, the homes you have for sale, then you can create a tribe. And I imagine a lot of the listeners are familiar with Seth Godin,
yes,
and his idea of the tribe.
Yep.
It's huge and it's fundamental in social media. You can't water down what you're doing and try to speak to every possible person out there. You really need to hone in on a target market and connect with them on multiple levels.
I'll put a post to Seth's site in the show notes, so you'll be able to check that out. I'm a big fan of Seth. He was one of the early innovators when it came to kind of new age communication, I guess I'd call it. He's just done such a great job. Okay, we could talk about Facebook all day because that does fascinate me, and I just see this massive target market, and we can target so closely with Facebook. But I know a lot of people in real estate have had hit and miss experiences with marketing on Facebook. So I think some of the advice that you've just shared will be acted upon, and we'll be able to soon see that there'll be some fresh and increasing results. What about Twitter?
Twitter's an interesting one because there is no algorithm in Twitter to help a user have a better experience and find more of the right types of content. So it's a fire hose, so you're competing with every single other tweet out there. So it can be a challenge. If you're participating actively in Twitter, using hashtags, actually having conversation with other people, you can have success.
Okay.
If you're just setting up an automated system where the same post you put on Facebook goes to Twitter, goes to LinkedIn, goes everywhere else, you're not going to see results. You have to understand that each platform has unique expectations, and you have to work within those expectations to have success. So the possibility is there. It's a younger demographic for the most part, certainly a lot fewer users than Facebook, but there's opportunity.
Yeah. Can you explain to our listeners the whole hashtag thing?
Yeah.
Because I think that's just largely misunderstood.
It is. Well, people use it for different reasons. There are some people who use it just to add color commentary. It adds no value beyond the color commentary. The main purpose of a hashtag is to group similar tweets. So if you're tweeting out something about a new property for sale in your city, there's probably a hashtag for your city. I know for me in London, Ontario, it's hashtag LDNONT. So anytime I send out a tweet that has that hashtag, everyone can click on that hashtag and see every other tweet that someone else has created that includes that hashtag.
Right.
So it's about creating a discussion rather than just these tweets that go off into the universe never to be seen or heard from again.
But wouldn't that be something of a jungle? Because there could be tens of thousands of different conversations going on under the one hashtag.
Yeah, there could be. So part of what you do is you might use multiple hashtags to narrow the focus. Or really what you're trying to do is figure out where is your target audience? What hashtags are they using actively? And can you use that same hashtag without appearing to be some form of spammer? You have to be providing value.
Okay.
But the city hashtag, I think, is the first step for everyone listening to think about.
So find your city hashtag and do a bit of exploring and see what's going on there.
Yep.
Okay. If I'm a real estate agent and I have a nice looking mobile friendly, of course, web page, and I'm writing a regular blog, which is, for those that don't know, a blog, it's abbreviation for a web log or like an article. Should I be positioning those articles out there and linking back to my blog, Jeff? Is that good for business and good for search?
Absolutely. I would say for me that the primary way of generating leads is by providing valuable content.
Okay.
And that's the nice thing is that every professional out there who's successful has a plethora of wisdom that they can share.
Yep.
Often they think it's meaningless and irrelevant because it doesn't mean much to them. It's just they've known it for 20 years and doesn't everyone know this?
Yeah.
The reality is people are going to Google constantly asking questions. Google loves blogs as an answer to a question.
Yeah.
So if you want to get discovered, absolutely blogging is critical for that.
And, well, this is an interesting case in point because I'm looking at your article at the moment and your headline reads like this, "Non-mobile-friendly websites might just disappear from Google." Now, that made me read it. I'd heard about, and you and I had spoken about it, but I'd heard about things that were going on, and I know we made some changes with Best Agents and Locked On, so we were completely compliant before April 21 today came around. But there are words in your headline that are going to be picked up from a search, and I'd imagine that you would have had pretty good response to that article.
Yeah, and there's logic that goes into those every title I create, because I know people are much more willing to avoid pain than to seek out pleasure.
Yeah.
So I always try to find what are those gaps, what are those issues, what are those scenarios where someone might get left behind and will be afraid of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about LinkedIn for a sec, because I think that's also largely misunderstood. And my audience is North American and from Australia and New Zealand. In North America here, there's a whole lot more referral. And I think that you told me at one point, real estate agents are one of the highest represented industries within LinkedIn. And so when you're referring, which is so huge here, it's big for business, perhaps not so much in Australia. Are you finding that agents are using LinkedIn?
I find most are on LinkedIn. They have no idea what to do with it.
Right.
The challenge is you can't look at LinkedIn the same way you look at Facebook, because people on LinkedIn are spending less than 14 minutes a month logged in actively versus Facebook, where they're there for 15 hours a month.
Wow. Is that the average usage, 15 hours a month?
Yeah. And that's, I suspect that's low now.
Wow.
But that's the challenge, is you can't just, you know, send out a post and hope people are going to be all logged in to see it. Very few are going to be logged in and see it, and eventually your post will just disappear.
Okay.
So it's great that you saw my post, but you're probably more active than the average user.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I do like LinkedIn. I post on it regularly. I communicate with a lot of my real estate clients for Locked On and Best Agents on LinkedIn. It's a good connector for me. I actually notice, though, Jeff, when I message somebody, they mightn't see the message for a few days or sometimes weeks. So that just underscores the point that you've just made, I guess, about using it or not using it. What other tips can you give us just for our online marketing in general? What other information could we be using, say, in real estate?
Well, I think it's about approaching online marketing holistically. It's not just, here's my website, here's social media. They exist in silos, never to connect. You need to look at everything in relationship to each other. So when I work with clients now, although my company is called Social Media Coach, it's evolved over the years to now encompass building websites, to doing online video, to online advertising, to search engine marketing. So you really need to look at all aspects of how people might discover you online and have a strategy in place to capture and convert those people.
Okay. How important is search, do you think, at the moment? We touched on it before. If somebody puts Real Estate London into a Google search, how important is search?
It's still huge. The more people I talk to, the more they say if they have a Yellow Pages, I don't know if that's in Australia as well, but if
we used to, I used to stand on them for photos.
That's exactly
short.
I put my monitor on my Yellow Pages.
Okay, it's there you go.
Never been opened. People go to their friends, they go to their family, they ask for recommendations, they go to Google to see what comes up. It is critical to be visible on Google for sure.
Okay. Jeff, I noticed that in a lot of your articles and a lot of your marketing, you start to tell a story. How important is that, do you think, in marketing?
I think it's critical. And I think really when it comes to social media, it is even that much more important.
Right.
The challenge is I don't think that many people really know how to tell a compelling story. They think they do. But if you think about, you know, your favorite TV shows or your favorite movie, it's not the plot that really keeps you interested. It's the character.
Yes.
And at the heart of every business is a character. Every realtor listening to this, they are the character in their own story. And so we're less interested in the property you're selling and the service you're offering, and we are way more interested in who you are as a human being and what's happening in your world. That allows us to connect with you, to build rapport with you, to find commonality. I hire the realtor with understanding of the relationship I anticipate I'm going to have. They're offering very similar services. They might be charging very similar rates. What separates one from the other is how I feel about them and how I feel they understand me. And so that's the story. And if you can learn to tell your story in little compelling chunks, 140 characters, a little photo, a little post here, that really starts to help people connect with you in meaningful ways.
It's interesting, isn't it? I recently did a post. Christine and I are redoing our floor downstairs here in the city, and I've sanded the floor back, and then I thought, boy, I don't know whether to stain it, to varnish it, to leave it, what to do, lime wash it. And I did a little post. This is only a couple of days ago, and I've got a heap of traffic on that, which is crazy. And I didn't. I'm only mentioning it because it's top of mind in exactly what you're talking about. Are you saying that perhaps we need to share a little bit more of ourselves? Because I know people are kind of reluctant to do that. They're probably traditionally private, and now they're trying to compete and get noticed in this social media world. So they kind of walk this tightrope of wanting to share a bit about my family or myself and staying private. Are you noticing that a bit?
Yeah, as long as I've been doing social media, the fear I've always heard from business owners is, how do they build this wall so that people can see my business life or they can see my personal life, but never the two shall meet?
Okay.
But the reality is, if you think about how you conduct business, you sit down, you know, in someone's living room, you have a conversation. Your first discussion point is not, here's what I charge and here's the house I'm going to sell you. It's, here's who I am. Here's my life. I have a kid, I'm married, travel. You build rapport and relationship. That's the fundamental starting point of every business relationship.
It is, isn't it? And I think so many people miss that point. But going back a few years when Facebook was just sort of doubling every month, I know a lot of my friends said, Ray, you're crazy. You're leaving yourself open to identity theft, identity fraud. You know, people are sneaking under your guard. They're going to find out all about you. And that, I noticed a lot of those scare tactics and that kind of negative press has died down in the last year or so.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's because security has improved. I think it's just that we've learned that this is our new reality.
It is, isn't it?
It kind
it's
of
exactly
is.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. And if you either do it or you don't, you can't get half pregnant with this, I guess.
That is a true story.
Mate, this has been terrific. Thank you. I just wanted to record this quickly and get the message out for everybody because our podcast is growing thick and fast. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed on iTunes, I'd love you to go to topagentsplaybook.com, scroll down the bottom, subscribe on iTunes. And if you could leave me a review and a comment, it's really going to help me a whole lot. I would be forever in your debt, and I'll send you something really cool. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. I always learn something every time we speak, and I'm looking forward to catching up with you soon.
That's great. It's a real pleasure, Ray. Thanks very much. This is Jeff Evans from socialmediacoach.ca, and you've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.